You're listening to episode 38 of the Mad Chatters Podcast, June 17th, 2015.
Most everyone's mad here.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters Podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and joining me, as always, are my lovable co-hosts, Matthew.
Howdy.
And Jeremy.
The only girl who'd love him is his mother.
On today's show, we're going to pull back the curtain a bit on the phenomenon that is Run Disney. For those who don't know, Run Disney is a series of races, the half marathon, 5K, etc., that are run in the Disney parks on both coasts. That's really all we Mad Chatters know about Run Disney, to be honest, but we want to know more. So a bit later, we're going to be talking to Dave and Becky Brayland. Dave and Becky are a married couple, and they are two of the hosts of one of our favorite podcasts, Mousedalgia, which is dedicated mostly to the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim. They both have run several races through Run Disney, so they are going to come on and answer all of our burning questions. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned for that interview a little later. Before we kick off the show, I do want to bring up one piece of news that I am excited about. Disney's Animal Kingdom is finally getting a Starbucks. That's right, on June 18th, the former merchandise location known as Creature Comforts, which has been under refurbishment for quite some time going through this transformation, will finally reopen as a Starbucks. I'm excited, not just because I love me some Starbucks, but also because this means there will be a Starbucks in every park at Walt Disney World. But also because this means that all six coffee mugs in the You Are Here mug collection will now be available. Matt, is the Animal Kingdom one the only one you have left to get?
Wait, six?
Well, including the California parks.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I only have two, Epcot and Magic Kingdom. I haven't gotten the Hollywood Studios yet. I just haven't been there to get it yet.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, I've been there. I haven't gone in purposely to buy it like I have Epcot and Magic Kingdom.
I see. Well, that will be available this week. It opens June 18th, so that's very exciting. But before that, we're going to do another resort roundup. So, Matt, I'm going to kick it over to you. What are we talking about this week?
This week, we're talking about... Are you using the little Woody's Roundup song there?
Yeah.
Because I was going to come in with the Resort Roundup. Talking about hotels. Resort Roundup. This week on Resort Roundup, we're discussing a resort that's near and dear to our hearts as Disney World fans, and that's Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort. And this was the resort that we all stayed at on our very first trip together to Walt Disney World, correct?
I'm crying looking through pictures right now.
Back in 2007. The world was a simpler, innocent place. I don't know.
Tickets were cheaper.
That's for
bottled
sure.
Water was cheaper.
I was a little skinnier.
Gas was $1.96 a gallon. Actually, it probably was. It's probably true.
The president was
George W. Bush.
Way back.
Yeah, it was good times. The Caribbean Beach Resort was the first resort other than... it was the first resort to be built outside of the Magic Kingdom area. So the Magic Kingdom opened... in 1971, obviously, with the Contemporary Resort and the Polynesian Village Resort. I think Grand Floridian came along first in the 80s after that. And then in the late 80s, Caribbean Beach was opened. And today we know it as a moderate resort. And I guess that's what it was a little cheaper then because it was a little away from the park at that time. And it was closer to Epcot. So this was like the first branch out into, you know, the moderate resort territory that we all know and love. Obviously themed to the Caribbean islands. Each section is named after one of the islands of the Caribbean. Jamaica, Aruba.
Come on, pretty mama. Oh, wait.
Barbados.
That's a mess.
Barbados, and then they have the Trinidad, North and South, Martinique. I think that's it, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And nobody wants to stay at Trinidad South because that's the the bus station that's out there.
Wait, Trinidad South is where the pirate rooms are.
It is, but because they wanted people to go out there.
It's the ghetto of the Caribbean Beach Resort.
Well, it's just separated. Everything else is there around the pretty lagoon, within walking distance of that's like it's like across the street. There's some trees. Oh, there's another building. Trinidad South.
All right, Matt, I have to ask. You brought us to this resort because it was one of your favorites. Tell us what you love about it so much. Like, what are the pros of staying at this resort?
It's got just a nice floor. Like, you think about going on vacation. Nothing really says vacation. I mean, we're Disney World fans. But when you think vacation, people think the beach and tropical music and, you know, fruity drinks and pools. And the Caribbean Beach offers that. Obviously, with its theme, there's still drums playing, or you might catch some Jimmy Buffett. I remember staying here as a child when I was 7, I think. And other than Dixie Landings, which is now Port Orleans Riverside, this is where we stayed when we went every once in a while. And it's just got a nice feel to it. It's got a really nice walk, like in the morning, walking across the little island they have in the middle. Parrot Key, I think they call it. And they have a really nice regular... the main pool is themed to like a Caribbean... like Pirates of the Caribbean kind of fortress castle thing. I don't know. It's got a nice little charm to it. Even back when the rooms were gaudy.
I'll tell you what I liked about it. I loved, and like you said, how it's spaced out. That you don't feel like people are on top of you, which is my complaint about the values, and also to an extent the deluxes, that there just never seems to be any space where you can just relax and be quiet and get away, and that's what this resort really offers. You really they feel really like do. You're separated from the world. And
the moderate resorts are the tallest they get, I think. The French Quarter might be 3 stories. I think it's 2. The tallest moderate resorts get, as far as stories go, per building, is 2 stories, except at Coronado Springs, there's a section that's, I think, 4 or 5 stories tall. But other than that, it feels very small and quaint no matter where you are because you're separated into individual buildings, even within your area. And then those areas are scattered around the landscape itself.
Yeah, it's a good little hike. I remember our last trip that we stayed there. It was a good little hike each morning to get the coffee in the morning at the...
But that's one of the reasons that they have a bus stop at every single village is because it's so spread out, which is a pro and a con because you don't have to walk far, but you have to sit on the bus potentially for 5 other stops when you just want to go back home.
You do take a little bit of a gamble with this tip, but I would ask for Aruba. A lot of people ask for Martinique because it's the closest to town center, which is like where their, you know, the food court is, the front. You know, people like being like just right next door to that. I don't. I like getting up in the morning and walking through the beautiful landscape, over the water, you know, listening to the music, that little nice time in the morning. I like that. Plus, and this is where it's a little bit of a gamble, depending on which route the buses take, it is usually the first drop off at night and the first pickup for many of the theme parks. Aruba is Jamaica being the last for both. So and again, that's not always the case. Sometimes they go in the front, but if they take the bus entrance, the first stop is Aruba.
Now, over the last year, they've really renovated the rooms, and I'm not just talking like they replaced light fixtures. It have you seen pictures of this? Because it looks like ceiling to floor redo. Mm-hmm. When we went, it was very much teal and pink.
Yeah.
Very kind of those 80s pastels.
Yeah, it was very Howard Johnson.
And they weren't even done in the 80s. Like, they had been renovated since then.
Yes.
But, yeah, Howard Johnson, you're right.
They had the subtle, well, maybe not so subtle, Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Comforters and things.
All of that's gone. Now it's a lot of dark woods, and they've got the nice sliding doors that separate the bathroom area from the rest of the room. I think it looks great.
If you've seen the rooms at Coronado Springs, they're very similar to those rooms. The bathrooms, however, are remodeled, whereas Coronado Springs bathrooms have not been remodeled since the 90s. But yeah.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the things they did, yeah. I remember two of my favorite things while staying there. We since stayed there twice. was just walking out of your room, and I mean, it really did feel like a beach, because in a literal sense, there was sand that, you know, went to the water, and there were hammocks everywhere, and it just had that very casual beach vibe, which sometimes, you know, Disney tries to theme things and they don't quite hit the mark, but I really thought they got as close as they could with that. Yeah. And the second thing was the pool. You mentioned the main pool that's kind of like a Spanish fort themed near the front, but it may be that every village has its own, or at least there are three.
Yeah, the quiet pools, quote unquote.
Right, which was great for us at night to just almost have the whole place to ourselves.
That first trip, we hit the pool every single night when we got back to the room.
Yeah. Back when we were young and
young and dumb and could do it. This last trip, it was like, nope, we're going to bed.
Well, except for me, I did.
Yeah, well, you know. So have you eaten at Shudders, which is a table service restaurant there?
No, I keep wanting to make reservations there just to give it a try. This is one of those places that it kind of became a thing that moderate resorts... one of the things they say that separates the moderate resorts was a table service option on top of the food court quick service. You can tell with Shudders. Now, Boat Rights at Port Orleans is good, and it has always been its own restaurant. And Coronado Springs opened with the Maya Grill. It's just okay. But when you look at the Caribbean Beach and Shudders, you can tell that they just basically walled off a section of the food court, and... It's basically the same decor, the same lighting, the windows, everything's basically the same. It's just you sit down and then they have food that you actually order off a menu.
Yeah.
It just gives it, it's kind of, you know, checking off, oh, yeah, we got a table service restaurant.
Right.
So that deters me from wanting to go there when I could go other places, but I will
even
try
the
it.
Name is not appealing to me, Shudders. Yeah, like, Shudders. That just doesn't sound...
It sounds like they just closed it.
When restaurants and Shudders are together, yeah, it's not good. All in all, I would say it's like my second favorite resort. And I'm only, you know, between Port Orleans Riverside and Caribbean Beach, it's hard to pick sometimes. When we go in a few weeks, my wife and I are going for a few days. We're going to stay at Riverside. But I was really close to choosing Caribbean Beach, but they weren't offering a discount for it. So I opted for Riverside instead. But this one and French Quarter, I mean Riverside, are my two favorites. I recommend them heartily to anyone.
I'd agree. Yeah, it's always going to be one of my favorites for nostalgic purposes, but I think it's more than that. I think it's got a lot going for it.
Yep.
Do you guys still have the Christmas ornaments I got you all?
Yes.
I do. They put it up every year.
Good. Oh, that means a lot to me. I kind of thought
what do you think
all
I would do with it?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you've done worse.
Somewhere is my little print that I bought, that little guy that draws the sketches and the colored pencil look.
Yeah,
I have that too.
Well, Caribbean Beach, Merry Christmas.
Insert some steel drums right here.
It's time for another Mad Cheddar game!
God help, Steve.
He's got the emphysema.
Yeah.
And now here's your Mad Cheddar host, Mad Cheddar Jeremy!
Oh, my.
Hey, thank you, folks. Thank you. Thank you. Please sit down. Thank you. Good to be here. Welcome to another Mad Cheddar game. We're excited to pit our two favorite Mad Cheddar contestants.
Oh, that is so kind of you to say.
Well, our only ones. But anyways, Mad Cheddar Derek against Mad Cheddar Matt, the reigning champion. And we will see who will come out victorious today. Let me ask you this question. Do you know what holiday is coming up this Sunday?
Father's
Pentecost Day.
Day.
No, that's already happened.
Father's Day is coming up. So today's game is called... Who's Your Daddy? And it's all about Disney fathers. So I will give you a Disney character or a Disney-related character. It could be something else in the Disney
universe. I don't know what
that means. You'll figure it out. And you have to tell me who that character's dad is. Now, if you miss it, the other person does get a chance to steal. Understand?
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm going to remember that.
So here we go. Starting first, we'll let Derek go first since he is the...
loser. You can say it.
Well, you said it, not me. Number one. Loser. Who's your daddy? Simba.
I'm supposed to name the daddy?
Yes.
Okay. Mufasa.
Correct. Mufasa is Simba's daddy.
Say it again.
Mufasa. Woo.
All right. Matt, your turn. Ready? Who's your daddy? Pinocchio.
Geppetto.
Geppetto is Pinocchio's daddy. Congratulations. We're tied 1-1. All right, Derek, you ready? Who's your daddy? Ariel.
King Triton.
Correct. Derek takes a point. I started him off easy, so you get some confidence.
Oh, dang it. I was getting more and more nervous for every question already.
Oh, goodness. All right, Matt's turn. Who's your daddy? Belle.
Maurice.
Crazy old Maurice. Correct. All right, back to Derek. Who's your daddy? Sleeping Beauty.
King. Stefan?
Correct. Correct.
King Crink? Stefan. What?
Cranky. I was trying to say correct and king at the same time. That didn't work out.
No.
That is correct. All right, back to Matthew. Who's your daddy? Nemo?
Marlin.
Correct. We are tied 3-3. Wow, this is
I don't
the
know.
Most...
I keep feeling like I'm doing that thing when you do your voicemail name. I'm taking a pause. Matthew Price.
You've reached the phone of
Marlin.
If I were pronouncing it, would have been Marlin.
Yo, Merlin. That's right.
All right. It's 3-3. Back to Derek. Who's your daddy? Hercules.
Zeus.
Correct.
Kinda.
Well, the same way Pinocchio's daddy is kind of Geppetto.
He doesn't have an earthly caretaker.
Let's not get into the theology of
Greek mythology. Yeah.
Matthew, who's your daddy? Buzz Lightyear.
Oh my. Buzz Lightyear? Oh, Zurg.
Correct.
I was like, good Lord. Buzz Aldrin?
You were overthinking.
That's actually pretty appropriate, isn't it?
I feel like you've named all the Disney movies where a father figure is present. Are there still more?
Yes.
Isn't that the Disney way to not have a father figure?
Plenty more. In fact, it's your turn, Derek. Are you ready?
Mm.
Who's your daddy? Wendy Darling.
Mr. Darling. Hold on.
More.
Hold on. Oh, no.
I need an answer.
John Darling. Yeah, I know.
Incorrect. Matt, would you like to try and steal?
Oh, my gosh. I was going to guess Michael. What's the wife's name? Can I ask that?
You can't,
no.
I can't think of it off the top of my head. So
it's not who's your mama. It's who's your daddy.
That's right.
Oh, dadgum. I was going to say John.
And you claim this is your favorite movie.
I know. I should know. But for a father? Oh, no. I can quote the whole thing in the beginning there. Poor Nana. What is his name? What do I have? What's my time limit? I got forever, right?
Well, forever is a long time, but I'll give you a few more seconds.
John? Why is it not John?
I know. I really felt like I could hear the wife saying John, but I guess not.
Probably because the brother's name is John.
I know. But he's also the oldest, so I thought maybe he was named after.
George! It's George.
Correct! George Darling. Oh, very good.
That just came to me.
Ew. Very. Ooh. Just out of thin air. All right. Now back to Matt.
Out of thin Google. More like it.
I have no Google. I don't have that on my computer.
Matthew, your turn.
Okay.
Who's your daddy? Dash Parr?
Okay, wait a minute.
And I will not accept Mr. Incredible. I need his actual name.
Way to give away the movie.
Oh. Did you not know what movie it was? Jim is incorrect.
Bob Parr
is correct. Derek with the steal.
I'd be honest with you, I've only watched The Incredibles once in my whole life.
It's fantastic.
Shame. All right, 5-5. We're tied. I don't have a tiebreaker, so I hope this doesn't end in a tie. I doubt it will, because we're getting to the hard ones now. Just a warning.
Well, Derek knows more about movies than I do, so...
I don't know.
This is the perfect game for him, because he loves movies. That's from Great Movie Ride.
Not anymore.
Yeah, they cut out all the
yeah, you're right.
Lines.
All right, back to the game, Derek. Who's your daddy, Indiana Jones?
Sean Connery.
Sort of, but that's not an answer I will accept.
Don't drink. What does he say? Don't touch the cup.
The classic Indiana Jones line. Don't touch the cup.
Sure don't know.
Sounds like Mr. T.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Matthew, would you like to try and steal?
Nope, I don't. Jim Bob Duggar.
Oh, it is that. I knew.
You know, the odds are in your favor by guessing him, but Dr. Henry Jones.
Okay. Certainly a very,
Junior.
I knew Dr. Jones. I just, Junior. I was so close.
Suck it, Trebek.
All right, Matthew's turn.
All right.
Who's your daddy? Luke Skywalker.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Anakin Skywalker.
Alex said that.
Are you kidding me?
Was I supposed to say Darth Vader?
People who know nothing about Star Wars know who Luke Skywalker's dad is.
Darth Vader is actually not his father. It's Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, please.
Well, you're really going to hate this one, Derek. I'm sorry.
Let me have it.
I might not know. I don't know something. I didn't know Jim Bob Invisible or whatever is thing. Incredible.
All right, Derek. Who's your daddy?
Jack, I thought I get to go because I got it.
That was your turn.
That was your turn there.
You let me go twice last time.
Because you stole it from me.
Did I?
Yes, I got it.
Thank you for rubbing it in.
Okay.
Who's your daddy, Jack Sparrow?
I tried to block those sequels out of my memory forever.
You can't. They're so wonderful.
Barbossa.
Ooh, that would be a surprise twist, but no.
I actually don't know his name. Keith Richards.
Keith Richards played him.
Yeah.
But his name is Captain Edward Teague. Captain Teague. So, there we go.
Oh, that's right.
Back to Matthew. Who's your daddy? Merida.
Oh, King Scottish Man. King <That's> Bagpipes. Right. I don't know. I hated that movie.
Oh, that's so sad.
I didn't love it either, and I'm sorry, I don't know his name.
Fergus. King Fergus.
Oh, that... never. You know that beat Wreck-It Ralph?
It did.
It did.
It should not have.
No, it should not
have. Disney's comeback.
Yeah. All right, back to Derek. Who's your daddy, Wilbur Robinson?
Who is that?
On Meet the Robinsons.
Oh.
I just don't know his name. Ned.
Correct. That was random.
When you said it, I thought, oh, that's right. So it's not that random.
It just sounds like a nerdy name.
Who's your daddy, Wilbur Robinson? Your turn to steal, Matt.
Ted.
No. Lewis. Lewis.
Hey, Ned.
Wilbur is the dark-haired boy, and Lewis is the main character. And then, remember,
it's
his
son. Right.
Oh, that's such a good movie. I just remembered that's the actual plot, and it's so good.
See?
Oh.
Yeah, don't hate the player. Hate the game. Well, don't hate the game. Hate the player, I guess. Anyways.
Hate Steve.
Don't hate anybody.
Don't hate anybody. That's the lesson we're going to take home today. Yeah. All right. Matthew, last one. Who's your daddy? Remy?
Oh. Claude?
That is a French name. That's a really good guess.
That's the first thing that came to mind. But
Derek, would you like to try steal?
I don't know. Pierre.
Nope, his name is Django. Django.
Django?
D-J-A-N-G-O.
Hey, who's your daddy? Django Fett.
It's spelled differently, and it's
Bobo.
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 Boba.
Star Wars meets Lord of the Rings.
Bilbo Bobo. Fett. Oh my goodness! All right, Steve, take us out with a special Happy Father's Day.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Who won?
If you'll wait.
Steve, oh, I'm sorry, Steve. Proceed.
I mean, we pay the guy for something. Goodness.
Yeah. Congratulations, Matt! You win another Mad Cheddar game by the score of 6-5. Join us next time, same Mad Cheddar podcast, same Mad Cheddar time, and a happy Father's Day to you!
Breathe, breathe. Today we are joined by hosts of the show Mousedalgia, Dave and Becky. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Glad
to have you. Mousedalgia is a podcast that focuses mostly on the Disneyland Resort in California. Okay, I gotta know. We have maybe 40 episodes or so under our belt, and you guys have, I want to say, over 300?
Yeah, we're, I think, around 340, something like that.
Okay, so what's your secret? How have you been able to do this so long?
It's Dave.
Well, I don't know about that. But, yeah, I think it helps that we have, you know, four of us. And so even if one person is just completely unavailable, there's enough of us to keep going. And even I think there's been a couple times when we've been down to two. But I think the mere force of numbers has helped us keep going.
I can definitely see it. Obviously, it's still something you enjoy to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sure. And you never get tired of talking about Disney. So
that's right. That's
a good thing.
I remember when I told my brother about this when we first started, he's like, you know, you better slow down on these topics. You're going to run out of things to talk about, you know, and obviously 340 episodes later proves him wrong. So
exactly.
I have those same conversations when I tell people. I don't tell a lot of people, but when I tell people, it's you just talk about Disney? It's like, yeah, you'd be surprised how much there is to talk about.
Like just Frozen, like all the time? Like that's all you talk about? What?
Not exactly. Okay, well, let's talk about Disneyland for a second. How far are you guys from the parks? How often are you able to get down there?
We're about 7 hours driving or an hour by plane. And then we go probably every 6 to 8 weeks. Does that sound right?
Yeah, you know, it changes from time to time, season to season. But yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I'm from Nashville, so I don't get to go down as often as I want. But Jeremy and our friend Matt, who's busy right now, but he... They're able to go a lot more often than I am.
To Disney World. I live in Miami.
Right,
so.
Oh, you're down in Miami. Okay.
Way down in Miami. But we went to Disneyland for the first time last fall, and we're going again this fall, so we're really looking forward to that.
Awesome.
So.
Yeah, we went in September, and on our last day, we just kind of looked at each other, and thinking of course, the 60th anniversary coming up, we just knew we're coming back next year. We can't leave and not come back. So,
that's funny.
Just has that... just has that feel about it. You can't stay away too long. So.
No, definitely.
Okay, well, let's talk a bit about Run Disney, because I know you both have participated in several races. How many have you run? I'm curious. Do you know?
Yeah, I guess we should have counted first.
No, not at all.
We've been doing it about 4 years, right? Does that sound
about
right?
About right.
And
yeah.
So I think I've run maybe 6 races total.
Wow, that's great.
And... You've done.
I'm probably.
You've done more.
I'm more like 8 or 9, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe even 10. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. I'm trying to think. I'm visualizing the medals, and of course, there's like the challenge medals, so you get this extra medal. But yeah, probably around. I'm guessing 9 or 10, actually.
That's cool.
Have you run races other than Disney, like other marathons or anything like that?
We've only done halves. We've never done a full.
Okay.
I feel you there.
Yeah, I have never run a half outside of Disney, but I have run other races, like a 5K and You done did a couple of 5Ks. I feel like I did some tries.
Some relays.
Yeah, some relays.
But yeah, I did one 5K. My first 5K ever was a non-Disney one, and I don't think I have a desire to do a non-Disney one anytime.
Yeah.
Again, it wasn't actually a very positive experience. My first ever like organized race was actually somewhat of a mess. So.
Well, that was going to be my question. What is the difference really between like the Disney races and the non-Disney races? At least, what's the advantage of doing a Disney over a non-Disney? Right.
I think scale is one thing that I find to be different. Like, some of that's probably what I choose to do versus like locally versus just at Disney. Like, Disney's just huge, right? So there's so many people involved, and so I think that's one thing. And then like just the production value of Disney tends to be really, really high. Now, I haven't done, like, I know a lot of people do like Rock and Roll and the Diva races. I have not done either of those. Everything I've done has been more like, you know, for charity, that kind of stuff. They're running. So, but I think they just, you know, they're over the top about everything, right?
Of course, well, yeah.
That's what makes them Disney.
I can only imagine. Yeah.
I think too, like at Disneyland now, there's 4 races. So you have like a season, right? Wow. 1 a quarter. And frankly, with our life, that's more than enough. I don't have other weekends to donate to just between training and stuff like that. I know a lot of people do. And there's certainly a lot of people who run a lot more than we do, who are out there every weekend racing. That's just not what we've chosen to do. We've kind of chosen to use it as a motivating factor, if you will.
How much training usually goes into like preparing for one of those? I mean, I'm just thinking like if you're starting from scratch or something like that.
It's usually a lot less than you should do.
Okay.
So I would say for like if you're starting from scratch, I think 3 months is a safe amount of time. I mean, more is better, but I think 3 months is safe. And even 60 days for going to a 5K, I think you can be fine. Certainly there's plans that go less time than that. But I would say 60 days is very comfortable to do a 5K. I don't think you'd want to do anything less than that for a half marathon if you haven't done anything before. But that's that'd be my although there's certainly times where I've done some halves before, but I've only done maybe 2 months of training, and I survived. I wouldn't say I did well, but I survived. So, like, you know, you can do that.
I'm tired just thinking about it right now. I mean, that really. So
I think Jeremy and I will be the first to admit that we don't know a lot about the whole Run Disney process. So can you kind of explain just the general format, like as far as registering goes, and then what's available there when you're running it? And you said something about medals. Is that like every participant gets one?
Yeah, so it kind of depends a little bit on the race and on what you want to do. So Disney World has become quite it's always been popular, but like the competition to get into the races has really ramped up. Mm-hmm. And that's true to some degree of Disneyland too, but not for all of the races. Like, I think you can still register right now for Avengers, which is sort of out of the ordinary.
Mind you, that's in November, and the initial registration started in March. Yeah. So like it's way in advance. You have to start this registration process. Wow.
And so, like, if you want to do something specific, it's really, like, with all Disney things, wise to know when that's going to be released and then get on your laptop or computer or whatever it is that you use and start refreshing about 5 minutes before and then fill in everything. It's helpful if you have – so Run Disney uses active.com to be able to register for your races. And so it's helpful to kind of fill that stuff out prior. Like, you can register with Active ahead of time. And then sometimes you can get, it'll autofill for you, and that will make that process a little bit easier. But yeah, it's why, like, especially with like the Dopey challenge and the Princess Tinkerbell one. Why can't I think of that right now?
The Pixie Dust Challenge?
No. Where you run the princess and the Tinkerbell.
The glass slipper.
The glass slipper, thank you.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, like, it's just smart to just know when that's going on sale and just do it.
About how many people run in these kind of races on average?
I feel like the last half I did was 14,000.
Yeah, it's like 14 to 17,000.
In Disneyland?
Yeah, Disneyland.
And the Disney World ones are bigger?
Yeah.
So this is massive.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Well, what's the route for those Disney? Does it go through both parks there?
Yeah, Disneyland will start out going through both parks. Like, you'll do about 5 miles between the two parks. And then they'll take you out onto the streets of Anaheim after that. And the route depends on what race you're running.
Sure.
But, you know, there's only so much ground in Disneyland, so you're going to run the same parts of that all the time. Disney World's a little bit different because I think you can do between, like, Epcot and the Magic Kingdom, you can run 13 miles just, like, without repeating anything. Wow. So it's a lot different there because they just have so much more space. But you end up doing a lot more highway running. Mm. So you can speak to that a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, several years ago I did the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, which was an evening run. I feel like it started...
Well, what month of the year was it?
November.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if it's in July in Florida, you probably need a midnight run there.
It was 10 o'clock,
yeah,
right?
I feel like it was like a 10 o'clock start time. Yeah, that would sound right. It was about 10 o'clock start time. It was nice just because the temperature was very, very comfortable for a run. It wasn't cold. It was not hot. Humidity was low. It was weird to be in the dark and running on the highways, and like that was all a little weird. But generally, it was cool from that. It was a positive experience. The only weird part from that one was at the end, you end up at Epcot, of course, and it's World Showcase, and they've got the food and wine stuff going on, and you get access to that. And so here it is, like, I'm like 2 a.m. I just ran 13.1 miles. And now they have a bunch of exotic food that you can, and alcohol that you can taste and eat. And I'm like, this is not what I want in my life right now.
All I want to do right now is vomit and drink Gatorade.
And it's like 2 a.m. Like, I'm tired. Like,
and here's your escargot, you know?
Yeah. This is not, so, and you know, a lot of people, you could, as a guest, you could just buy a special ticket to get in there, maybe because you're rooting on one of your friends or relatives or something that's doing the race, and you can be part of that as well. But so I could see maybe the appeal there, because of course it's much less crowded than it would be during the day. But as a participant in the race, like, that just did not appeal to me. Although it was kind of cool at the finish line, you know, when they give you your different food and stuff like that, there, one of the things they did have was a plastic cup of wine that was covered and everything, so that they just handed that to you. You know, I'm here, I'm crossing the finish line, they hand me basically a glass of wine, or you could have a beer. And it was a little weird. Yeah, I had not experienced that elsewhere, but it was different. But yeah, for me, like, the whole thing, I just trying to get to World Showcase. So by the time I got there, I was like, nope, I'm just going to leave and turn around and left. So I didn't even really experience that part of it. I saw it and I left. So
yeah, you said the Florida one seemed to be a little more popular. Did you notice that when you were down there? Like, could you just feel that there were more people? And
well, it was food and wine in general, so it was busy. And I think it was the last week of food and wine.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's the case. Like at Disneyland, when there's a race, you can tell. Like, it is packed to the gills. It's overwhelming. It's like, if you're not going to race, don't go then.
Yeah.
Like, go a different time. But we've been in Disney World a couple of times now where they've been having races. And even if we haven't been running, like, it hasn't been really overwhelming, especially if you compare the two coasts. I think it just handles the crowds a little bit better. Like, there's just more, I don't know, there's just more space.
Like, if you want to avoid it, you can.
Yeah.
And I feel like the chances are, if you're in Florida, you're staying at a resort, and so there might be more appeal to stay at the resort for the day to relax or whatever. Whereas if you're in Anaheim, I bet you there's 90% chance you're staying at some motel or hotel that's nearby, and then there maybe is a pool at that place that you're seeing it, like, but it's optional. So, yeah. I think it's not necessarily as comfortable to just hang out at your hotel as it is in Disney World. But that's just my thought.
And you mentioned the medals earlier. When did you receive those?
You get those at the finish line as well, and everybody gets one that finishes. You get a medal. So, the half marathon and the 10Ks are usually nice, substantial ones. The 5K medals are usually this kind of rubbery plastic thing that some people call coasters. So they're they're cool. They're nice, but they're not the kind of bling that people usually think of for medals.
So you could have lied and told us just the top 20 get a medal. We never would have known. Do you get a T-shirt or something as well? I feel like
a tech shirt for half and for tens, and the 5Ks is usually just a normal Hanes T-shirt. You get a medal and you get a shirt for all the races.
Okay, let's talk about costumes for a second. Do you guys get into all that?
No, I've never done anything. And Becky, you did.
We've run, my sister and I often will run together. So we've done a couple of we'll wear our mini ears with, a red shirt and a black running skirt or something that. But yeah. I am not generally a costume person anyways. And when I am being athletic and physical, I just want to be comfortable. And so and the reality is too, I just don't I feel like I spend a lot of money on these things already. I just don't need to spend more. So
we are kindred spirits, Jeremy. When we go to the Halloween party, Jeremy always tries to get Matthew and I to dress up, and I'm like, A, cost, B, comfortable, or what's the noun? Comfort. And see, just no, I don't want to be seen in that.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well go all out. But I do understand the cost.
Right.
And there are some people that go all out. Yes. Like the Kronk, I don't know if y'all saw that floating around the internet. Was awesome, whoever did that. So
saw that in person.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it's fun to see people in costume. I think that's one of the neat things about the race is that there are so many people to look at and, to see kind of what people do. And people are creative. That's the other thing. I'm not that crafty. I tried once to make my own, running skirt. We were going to do the Queen of Hearts. I had everything. It was working. And then all of a sudden, I cut in the wrong place and it was all over. This is way too stressful for me. I would rather be out running than doing this. So I'm just going to call it good. And so it just, people are gifted at that and they know how to do it and they can do it well and they can probably do it for way less money than I do. And there's sort of kind of a market for it, I guess. People sell. You can go on Etsy and buy stuff that's already made, or people sell what they've used. And so, there's definitely ways to get it. It just hasn't been a priority for either of us. Yeah.
And who doesn't want to wear somebody else's used, sweaty costume that they've run in? So, one of the things that I've seen that I have a question about, I am not really a runner. I start running and I usually go for a few weeks and then I stop because I hate it. But anywho.
He ends up at Krispy Kreme and it's all
that's
over.
That's right. I run until I want a donut and then I stop. Yeah. But one of the things that I've noticed about these kind of runs is there's lots of characters along the way. At least in Disney World, is it the same in Disneyland?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. There's especially in Disneyland, there's oftentimes floats. They'll bring the floats out, and so they'll just be stationary sitting there, and you can have your picture with it or see it, and they'll have music going. They'll have, of course, characters, and there'll be bands, all kinds of different things to try and entertain you along the way, usually.
Does that mess you up as a runner? Like me, when I if I'm running and I stop for 5-10 minutes or however long it takes to take a picture, I feel like that would be enough to throw you off. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I mean, I think people go into it you have to kind of decide, what am I going to do? Am I looking to make record time, or am I looking to have a good time? And so I think I've always run with I'm just looking to have a good time, and you kind of. So you have to choose. And a lot of times you can't stop for every picture. Some of the lines get pretty long. You could wait 20 or 30 minutes for a picture with a character. My favorite picture I got to sit in the fire truck on Disneyland and drive, quote unquote, drive the fire truck, Well, that one nobody was stopping for, and I kind of felt like I can get my picture with Darth Vader in the park. Like, I can't sit on that fire truck anytime.
Yeah.
Wow. So, there's just some kind of unique opportunities that if you can keep your eyes open for, you can get some interesting photos with. And like definitely going behind the scenes and things like that. People, to me, that's one of the, some of the stuff that's cool. Like, I like the characters. They definitely bring out some of the more interesting characters. A lot of times at Disneyland, they'll have the Lost Boys riding on Dumbo or on the carousel or something like that. So they're not necessarily standing there waiting to take pictures, but you could, you know, selfie that one or something. But, so I think it's, you just have to decide why are you out there and what do you want out of it? And a lot of times, like I said, I run with my sister. So we'll decide, okay, is this one we want to do? And a lot of times the answer to that question is it something I can do regularly in the park? Or is this a special occasion kind of thing?
Yeah. So it does make me wonder if a lot of people participate, not because they're serious runners, but they want some of that rare experiences.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen like Darkwing Duck and those kind of things, and I would totally run it just for that photo up there. So.
I would stop for Darkwing Duck.
Like, yeah. Absolutely.
See, that's something that you just can't get all the time. So why wouldn't
and that's,
you?
A shame. What are the age range? What are the age ranges that you see of people that participate? Does it seem to be, you know, everything from teenagers to Betty White, or what do you see out there?
Yeah, I feel like it really does, you know, the whole gamut. And, you know, especially at the 5K, it's really intended to be a fun run. It's not timed. It's just, you know, everybody's out there. You know, there's people, I always talk about, you know, there's people out there in jeans and long sleeve shirts, you know, doing the 5K. Like, clearly it's being done in a casual manner.
Yeah, wow.
So,
is that their costume? Are they Paul Bunyan? Nope.
They're just, you know, that's what's comfortable for them. And so, you know, all power to them. They're doing it. They're out there doing it. But then, you know, for the half definitely for the half, I think you have to be a little bit more serious about it. But yeah, I still see the whole age range. Like, I feel like I see maybe as young as 8 years old doing the 10 and a half. I don't know if I see anything younger than that, but I'd say somewhere around there, there's kids out there doing it. And, you know, some of them are doing it much better than me and some are struggling, but you know, hey, you know, they're out there usually with a parent or a sibling, doing it. So I think that's cool. Like, it really is accepting of everybody and anybody, as long as you keep, it's usually a 16-minute mile pace, you're allowed to be out there.
Are they pretty strict about that? About cutting it off if you don't make that?
Yeah, they are. But it starts when the last person crosses the start line.
Okay.
So there's like all kinds of things that people will do to make sure they don't get swept, right? Mm-hmm. They will try to make sure they're at the front of the corral, or they might fib on their time, so they get put in a different corral, things like that. But you basically just need to be 16-minute mile pace from the last person. So like, if I'm in corral C and there's corral E, I have a long window there of when I can, you know, how I can go. But I think most people are pretty good about trying to keep that. And, you know, they're not just like sipping and strolling, so to speak. They're out there most people, I feel like, are out there working pretty hard and doing their best. So
yeah, definitely. I feel like there's been a couple horror stories along the years where people felt like they were getting swept earlier than they should have. And it seemed like there were enough people screaming about it that it must have been true. But in general, it seems like Run Disney tries to be very encouraging of those people. You know, there's usually a whole group of people that are just there cheering. People that have already gone, finished the race, they're on their way back. You know, they're usually cheering these people on too because they're walking past them. And so, you know, there's definitely, it's generally usually a really positive attitude that's around trying to just, you know, everybody's out there trying to have a good time, trying to, you know, better themselves and accomplish this, you know, crazy goal. So, yeah, I think it's a good environment.
Yeah, and I don't think it's because Disney feels like, oh, if you don't keep a 16-minute mile pace, you're not good enough. It's more like we have to get the parks open and we're paying to have these streets closed. Like, it has a lot to do with just logistics, not like trying to exclude anyone.
Oh, I absolutely understand that, yeah. Now, you mentioned Avengers and then the Tinkerbell, things like that. Is there a theme that has been your favorite of all the ones you've done?
Yeah, the Tinkerbell, I think.
The Tinkerbell is the one that I've sort of sold my soul to, I guess. But I think that's mainly because I got to do the first one, and that's kind of what got me hooked on it, and decided just to be involved. I really liked...
So you might say it's mouse-dalgic.
You might.
Oh, boo.
Nice work.
Thank you.
I really liked, they did this last year, the 10K at the Disneyland half was a Stitch, like, tropical theme. And I really liked that just because it was very, very aloha. That was something I enjoyed. How about you?
That's a tough question. I think, I feel like they did the Avengers one fairly well. I feel like that one, the Star Wars one, I was a little ho-hum about how well they did with the theming of it. I think the concept is great, but that felt like the execution wasn't awesome. Mm-hmm. I feel like Avengers, they did better, but that could all just be rose-colored glasses at this point.
Well, now it makes me curious, have there been any themes that they tried once and then they never did again? I'm not, like I said, I don't really know much about the ones they've done in the past, but...
No, I don't know. I mean, I know at one point they did have a Disneyland full marathon, but they haven't done that for many years. And that's mainly a logistics issue.
Yeah,
there's
space.
Just not enough space to go.
Yeah, I can't think of one. I mean, kind of along the, she was talking to space, and we were talking about the routes before at Disneyland. Some of the routes actually take you out to the Angel Stadium, and you run the warning track around the stadium and then head back to Disneyland kind of thing.
Wow.
So
that'd be neat. I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool opportunity.
I gotta say, you guys are kind of making me... I didn't think I'd ever do this in a million years, but you're kind of making me want to do it.
You should do it.
What advice would you give to people who have never tried it?
Be consistent. Like, that's really what I tell people. You just need to... If you, like the whole Jeff Galloway thing, which he, you know, works with Run Disney and kind of provides these various like training programs, so to speak, he's really big into no matter what your speed is, you get out 3 times a week, you know, 2 times during the week for 30 to 45 minutes and then a longer run once a week. And I think that's really the key. If you want to be successful, get out 3 times a week and do it. And if you can do that, then... you're going to see success and it will work for you. But if you don't, like if you start that way and then you're like, I'm not going to work on it now. I think that's when you kind of struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'd encourage you to focus more on the endurance aspect to start off with and less about the speed. You can work on the speed later, but the endurance is more of like, can I even just go the distance, right?
Yeah.
Like in any amount of time, much less in a specific amount of time, just like get out there and, you know, the more you do it, the more your body gets used to it. And also you start to kind of believe in yourself. Like I never thought that I'd be able to do a 5K, and you know, after a while that started to not necessarily get easy, but it wasn't as much of a challenge. And so that's why I decided, well, I guess I owe it to myself to try and do something more. And I signed up for the half marathon, and about 2 weeks later they announced the 10K, which would have been nicer, but oh well. So you know, like I feel like you just have to kind of push yourself. And it's a lot of what I think Run Disney is trying to promote is just like a healthy lifestyle and just kind of proving to yourself that you can do it. And so just get out there and try.
And I'll say too, I think the Disneyland races are easier to run because there's less logistics. So with Disney World, you know, they still have like a 5:30 start time, but you need to be up and on the bus at 2 or 3 a.m. to be able to get to the start point because there's so much more land to cover, right?
Yeah.
Which... at Disneyland, if I stay at the Disneyland Hotel and the Tinkerbell race starts at 5, I could maybe leave my hotel at 4:45, which I've maybe done.
Wow.
So, and just walk out the door and you're there. And so I think that makes the Disneyland races better, personally.
I mean, the Disney World one I did, I'm pretty sure I had to get on the bus at like 7 o'clock for the 10 o'clock start time.
Yeah. Wow.
They basically, like, because you're taking a shuttle from your resort to the ESPN, Worldwide World of Sports, wherever. And then I sat on the grass for a couple hours, which was nice because there's grass and you can sit there. So, like, that's okay. Whereas at the same time, if you're waiting for the Disneyland one to start, there's asphalt. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's kind of some trade-offs there. But the fact that, yeah, I was also concerned because by the time the race was actually going to start, my phone was already down to 80% because I'd been there for so long.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I hope that my battery lasts through the race. Otherwise, this is going to be really depressing. So.
Mm-hmm. Are you training for a race right now? Or are you planning on one upcoming?
So I was hoping to run the 10K for the Tinkerbell just over Mother's Day, but I broke my toe a couple weeks before that, so I didn't end up getting to do that. And so I'm just finishing kind of my probationary period from having the broken toe. And now, and I didn't break anything related to running. It's just obviously you can't run with a broken toe.
Yeah. But.
So I'm hopefully going to be starting the train soon for the Avengers in November.
Okay.
And then hopefully in a week or so, we're going to be signing up for Star Wars Half Marathon. The registration already went out for Disneyland AP people, but that sold out, I think, within, I don't know, like 10 minutes or something like that. The AP DVC pre-registration. So you, just to give you an idea, like these things sell out quick. So
yeah, they seem to be very popular and people like them. So I guess as long as people enjoy it. And like you said, it promotes healthy lifestyle, which we need in America as it is. And, and if you're going to do it, you might as well do it at Disney. I mean, there's no better place.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think the one thing I will caution people, and you know, one thing we've started to realize is, you know, like especially if you're doing something more serious like a half marathon, you're not going to exactly want to tour the parks hard the day before, or the day of, or maybe even the day after. So suddenly you're cutting out a big chunk of time that you're at this resort, whether it's East Coast or West Coast. And you got to think about how that's going to impact your decision on, you know, how much you're spending on this trip and how it might impact those that you're touring with. So it's I don't want to scare anybody off, but it's certainly something you need to keep in mind. So we have, you know, friends that like to hang out with us whenever we're in the parks. And of course, they somewhat lament when it's a run weekend and we're down there because we're kind of like, nope, we got to go to bed early. No,
yeah.
I'm not going to tour the parks after just doing 13 miles. You know, I don't want to go do another 13 miles. So, yeah, it's just something to think in mind.
No, that is a good point. I never would have thought of that. Yeah. Okay, well, before you go, we're going, like you said, we're going to Disneyland in September. So what are your, like, two or three musts? Now, we were just there last year, but are there food items we missed? Or behind the scenes, something? I don't know.
Well, I mean, they've got all the new nighttime shows. So.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take the softball of the Hepbox Ghost. I think you gotta get to see that.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I'm very excited.
Well, we're hoping it's there because it'll be about the time they're putting in the holiday overlay.
Oh.
So has there been word on that yet?
That is a good point. I haven't heard.
We talked about that last night.
Yeah, that September is an awkward time to go for the Haunted Mansion because they usually take it down for a couple weeks to put the overlay on. So, unless you're there the first week of September, you know, you're kind of playing with fire about whether it'll even be open at all, much less which version you'd see.
Right. So, last year, our last day of the trip was the day it opened.
Okay.
Wow. Reopened. And then this year, we're actually going a week later. So I think we're
still okay.
Yeah. But will the Hatbox Ghost actually be there still, or will he be overlaid with some nightmare? I mean, will it be Oogie Boogie's head there, you know, or something?
I'd be surprised if they covered him up.
See,
that's my thought
way.
As well. They've made such a big hype, and it's only been a few months. So
yeah.
Mm. Well, my favorite thing was the Matterhorn Macaroon.
Yeah, I love that.
I had several.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And they're only $1.99. I feel like I shouldn't say that too loud because Disneyland's going to say, what, it's only $1.99 still? We need to change that.
But. One thing that I do like, as food related, that I think Becky highly underestimated until she finally tried it, is that they call it the giant chocolate chip Mickey ear. And so it's probably about the size of your head. And then plus the ears are dipped in chocolate, and then there's chocolate drizzled along the front. So check it out. I think it's really tasty. You can get it at Marceline's, or I know you can get it at the candy store in DCA. And I'm trying to think, I would imagine you can get it at the Candy Palace in Disneyland too, but I don't know that we've ever bought it there.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to run the half marathon after that just to burn the calories off. So
it's nothing I ever eat in one sitting. It's usually like I'll eat the ear now, and then next time I go back to eat another ear.
Cool. We're really excited about it. So thank you guys so much for joining us. That's all I had, but we really appreciate you helping us out with the Run Disney thing and giving us all the lowdown. Tell our listeners where they can find you online.
Absolutely. So we're at Mousetalgia. So it's Mousetalgia, to kind of play off nostalgia because we talk about history of the mouse. We're at twitter.com/mousetalgia, Facebook, Pinterest, pretty much any social media you're going to find us at /mousetalgia. So please check us out. Find us on iTunes as well. And if you just want to find a quick way, just go to mousetalgia.com. There's links to everything. And to subscribe, you can learn more about us. And
great. And all you people hop on Pinterest and share your costume ideas with Becky and Dave. It sounds like they need help. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Well, that does it for another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast. Thanks again to Dave and Becky. Aren't they great? That was a lot of fun. If you haven't checked out the Mousetalgia podcast, I highly recommend that you do so. If you would like to find us on social media, you can go follow us on Twitter at Mad Chatters. Of course, we're on Facebook. You can find us on iTunes. And if you'd like to send us a question or a comment, send those to comments@madchatters.net. Until next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.